I woke up to a faulty smoke alarm early this morning. We've got a circuit breaker in the basement, and in theory, throwing the switch for the smoke alarm should turn them off. My problems, though, I realized when I came to work, are nothing compared to what I saw in an online video to prepare meeting our first guest on the show today. Imagine a different circuit breaker. There's a wire going into it, and it's dedicated not to smoke alarms or a fridge. It's dedicated to a person, to keeping that person alive. That's the story behind Alberto and Mireia. They're the subjects in one of a series of short documentaries. Andrea Patiño Contreras produced them for Univision about some of the Puerto Ricans who survived Hurricane Maria. A year ago today, they were braving wind, floods, and landslides. Alberto and Mireia lived in Yabucoa, an area hit hard by Maria, and then Mireia got sick. Here's Andrea Patiño Contreras.
Mireia had a stroke a month after Maria made landfall. She had already had two strokes in the 8 years before that. So this was her third and the worst. She was in pretty bad shape. She actually had four small heart attacks during that time. The last one, it took doctors 9 minutes to revive her. So by the time all of that happened, you know, they were pretty certain she wasn't going to live for much longer.
Cuando yo me la traje del hospital, ellos me la dieron bajo el programa de hospicio, que es un programa para pacientes terminales.
Right here, Alberto's describing what happened in the hospital. The doctors basically told him, okay, you can take her now home under this hospice program, but for that, we need you to have electricity 24/7 so that she can use all the machines she's depending on and to have AC so that she's comfortable, right? But they didn't have electricity, so that was a challenge for him. So he had to come up with this system to keep her alive.
I mean, it's such a reminder of how much we take electricity in this country for granted. What was Alberto's plan?
Okay, so he had a generator, but that was not enough. He couldn't run that 24/7 because it's very loud, it's very expensive, it's not feasible. So he basically came up with this system. He knew a little bit about wind power and solar energy. So he decided to utilize that. He created a whole kind of small electrical grid that basically feeds Mireia's machines. With his family, he started innovating and putting all these pieces together. It was very hard to find, for instance, batteries. He mentioned he would have to drive to San Juan one day, and then the next day his son would go try to find another battery. So slowly they were able to put together 8 batteries and then create this whole system for Mireia's machines exclusively. And right now they don't depend on the electrical system at all because they know the electrical grid is very, very fragile. If there's another storm, even if it's not a hurricane, it could put it down. That's why they want to keep this innovative system in place.
So a kind of silver lining to this story, Alberto's kind of independent from the grid. How about Mireia? How's she doing now?
She's doing well within the limitations that she has right now. As I mentioned before, she was expected to only live for a couple of weeks after she was released.
Yeah, so this is kind of miraculous.
Exactly. It's been almost a year in November, and he says that she has improved a little bit. I mean, she's never going to go back to the way she was. He talked about, when we interviewed him, the immense love he feels for her. She's been his companion for 45 years. They have 2 sons. They have grandkids together. That it was his turn to be a really good partner to her. And of course, it's not easy. It has really changed their lives, their routines, and he's, you know, her main caretaker. She's in bed 24 hours a day, and he's with her most of the time. So it has really changed his family.
You know, it's a 3-minute documentary, and I was tearing up. I mean, it really ought to become an art house film. So powerful. But so is the person in this other video you produced. It's also very moving.
Cuando llueve, siento pánico. Le tengo terror a la lluvia. El corazón se me acelera.
So this woman, her name is Nieves. Tell us what she's saying there.
So in this clip, Nieves is describing the feelings she experiences when it rains. She feels panic, she's terrified, she wants to run away, and her heart starts racing. And these are feelings that came after living through Hurricane Maria.
What did she actually kind of experience during the hurricane?
During the hurricane, she was in her home with her mother and her baby daughter, and her house flooded very badly. When she started seeing the water coming through the doors, she basically panicked, and she describes this feeling of being completely frozen and not being able to move at all. She describes that she was hearing her neighbors kind of knocking on her door, knocking through the windows. And at some point, it kind of clicked, and she opened the door. One of the neighbors came in running and picked up the baby daughter. And luckily, they were able to get out safely. She lost most of her things. When we saw her a couple of months ago, she still didn't have a bed. She didn't have a lot of basic things. But she felt very grateful that she had been able to get out alive with her mother, because in that town in particular, a few people drowned.
Right. Well, as you explained, 4 feet of floodwater went through her house. So it makes sense that a life-changing event like Maria could be traumatic and is still traumatic. Do we know how many Puerto Ricans were diagnosed or reported that the hurricane affected their mental health?
So those numbers are actually very difficult to get. There's a Puerto Rican entity that deals with mental health and addiction crisis. It's called AMSCA. And we met with the director, Suzanne Roig. They have acknowledged that there was an increase in suicide deaths by about 18-20%, more or less. But other conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, they're very hesitant to speak about those numbers, actually, and make the correlation between the suicides and a direct relation to Maria. However, we did speak to a number of psychiatrists and doctors who, based on their experiences and anecdotal evidence, they knew that anxiety and stress and depression were on the rise. But the exact numbers were very, very difficult to come across. Some of the hospitals we visited, they were saying, you know, some of our patients need to wait for weeks or for months to get an appointment. It's certainly a challenge, and I think we're probably going to see more of these conditions coming up in the next few months.
Well, Nieves is still traumatized by Hurricane Maria. Here's Nieves again.
Yo llegué a sentir mucha frustración y llegué a sentir deseos de quitarme la vida, pero no soy capaz de hacerlo.
In this clip, she's describing that she's felt very frustrated and that, in fact, she has thought about committing suicide a couple of times, but then she would immediately think of her baby and that she doesn't want to leave her alone, and that would kind of keep her going.
Yeah, you can really hear how it's very complex for her, just in her voice, even if you don't understand Spanish. So these were just two stories from a series you did of these mini-docs. What struck you most about your reporting in Puerto Rico and the people you met who are coping?
I think a few things. One of the most powerful things we saw with my colleague Patricia when we were reporting, I think, was that people were extremely not only resilient, but resourceful as well. Like, I think Alberto is, you know, a great example of that, right? Mm. People, when they face the circumstances, they were very quick to come up with solutions. We noticed a lot of community-based solutions, a lot of localized responses. You know, that's partly because the central government was not able to respond in time and properly. But people were very, very community-oriented. I think Puerto Ricans are proud of that, and you could tell that people had helped each other tremendously through this difficult time.
Andrea Patiño Contreras is a reporter with Univision. You can watch her short documentaries about how individual Puerto Ricans coped with Hurricane Maria on the World's Facebook page. Andrea, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Marco, for having me.